Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Just want to bring you a statement in from the teachers' union, the INTO. It says all schools across the country are being asked to observe a minute's silence at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, the 18th of January, that's tomorrow, in memory of Aisling Murphy. They say we are encouraging schools to fall silent to remember a beloved primary school teacher taken far too soon and show our solidarity with her friends, family, colleagues and pupils as Aisling is laid to rest. And the INTO, the ASTI, FORSA and the TUI, they're all urging schools and colleges to join in that tribute, that minute silence at 11 a.m. And I see too that Novak Djokovic has just arrived in Belgrade. The pictures are being carried live on the news channels this morning. Well, it seems there's further bad news in store for him, because Reuters is reporting that he could be barred from playing in the French Open in May after the sports ministry there said there would be no exemption from France's new vaccine pass law. Now, we know he hasn't been vaccinated against COVID-19. He was deported from Australia yesterday after losing his court case to have the cancellation of his visa overturned. Well, France's vaccine pass law, which was approved by Parliament just yesterday, it requires people to have a certificate of vaccination to enter public places such as restaurants, cafes, cinemas and long distance trains. So it would seem, certainly on first glance, that he's going to fall foul to that rule in France as well and may miss the French Open coming up in May. Now, this year promises to be an important one for space exploration. There are several major programs reaching the launch pad over the next 12 months. And for more on what 2022 holds for space travel, I'm joined by Frances McCarthy, Education and Outreach Officer at Blackrock Castle Observatory. Frances, good morning to you.
And good morning.
Let's start with the moon. What better place to start?
I know. Did you see it in the sky? Isn't it just gorgeous right now? Beautiful full moon time of the month.
Absolutely. This morning on the way in, it felt like it was right beside me as I was driving in. But there are plans, aren't there, for robot missions to the moon this year? But some people might be surprised to learn that it's 50 years since we had any manned missions to the moon.
I know. I mean, I don't remember it. I'm the age that I might just, as a very tiny little girl, have remembered it. But no, I don't remember humans going to the moon at all, because it is really that long ago. Everybody remembers the excitement that was around in the 69 when the first humans went. Well, they only went for another few years. The last landing on the moon with the humans is in the very early 70s.
And why was that? And why has that not happened since?
Well, at that time, NASA had already signed contracts to start developing what became the space shuttle. So there was an emphasis not so much on the big target of let's go to the moon, but let's develop reusable spacecraft and put things into near-Earth orbit, which has led to that explosion of spacecraft near the Earth, which do so many useful things for us. So the balance went, okay, the headline, go to the moon, or let's start launching. And I think they made the right choice. But now that we have so many spacecraft everywhere around our planet, we're now looking beyond. We're sending robot explorers to the moon, we're sending them out to the other planets, and we're heading back towards sending humans to the moon again.
But the plan now, NASA's plan now, is for a robot spacecraft to go.
Yes. Okay. So the first thing that's going to be happening this year to get humans back to the moon is the Artemis mission. So the Artemis mission uses a new initial rocket launcher called the Space Launch System. This is a big rocket with lots of engines. They're hoping, and this has slid a few times, at the earliest to be launching that in March. They need to do a dress rehearsal first with everything in place. If that works successfully, then they will set the date for launch. So it could be as early as March, it could be April, or it could slide into the summer. Once that is launched, that is a mission of sort of a dress rehearsal of what's needed to take humans to the moon. So big rocket, a European service module, and above it, the Orion capsule that would hold the astronauts. This first launch of Artemis is intended to go to the moon, go around the moon and come back. It would be amazing. And then, you know, do it again with nobody on it and then put a lunar landing possibly within 2 years.
Mm-hmm. There's a company offering, a private company offering to put items on the moon for you. Now, what's the point of that?
Well, I suppose if you've done everything, you might want to leave a little memento or something significant to you in a fabulous place. I mean, people go and put locks on bridges. So there's the desire to mark your space. And why not mark your space in space? So a private company has available little tiles that go into a lander that is due to go to the moon this year. You can purchase a space in this payload for something. The intention is that Arthur C. Clarke's, a little part of his cremated remains, will be sent to the moon. Okay. And landed on the moon at the end of this year. Now, besides the kind of the silly side of, you know, pay for a bit of the payload, there is a rover going to be going to the moon with this, a Japanese rover called Yaoki. And that little rover, it's the cutest little thing ever. A little tiny micro rover, in essence, two wheels hooked together. So it doesn't matter if it falls over, all it is wheels.
So people have the opportunity to send small, precious items, maybe of sentimental value, to the moon.
You know, a flower out of your wedding bouquet, if that suits you, or some other, you know, personal item. They're not incredibly expensive as long as it's small. It's $1.2 million per kilogram to get to the moon.
Yeah, as long as this isn't a precursor for us, you know, looking for a home for our landfill.
No, I think it would be a little bit more expensive to send your landfill up to the moon.
Francis, when we talk about the exploration of Mars, this is ongoing, great excitement around it. But we're coming to the point now where we'll have this joint European-Russian mission this year.
Yes.
What's going to happen?
So this is part of ExoMars, which is an ongoing series of missions that started a few years ago with an orbiter, which is currently around Mars. There was a test of a lander, which tested quite carefully that they hadn't figured everything out as it crashed. But this one is a rover on a lander. So there's a Russian lander that's going to go to Mars, taking this European rover called Rosalind Franklin. Now, Rosalind Franklin, the name conveys, DNA and life and understanding what's going on. So this rover has a big drill. It will drill below the surface of Mars, because Mars, with its very thin atmosphere, the stuff you can get to easily has been affected. It's been ionizing radiation from the sun has really affected the surface. So the intent is to drill beneath the surface. And then you look for the chemical composition and possible signs of life.
And that's the whole aim of this.
It's looking for life. It's looking for, is there anything below the surface that hasn't been sterilized that can tell us, is our neighbor in space a place where life has arisen?
And what are the signs right now?
Well, there is some unusual gas activity on Mars. So the trace gas orbiter, which was already launched, is detecting methane. Methane is associated with life processes on this planet. It's also associated with chemical processes. And we're not sure, because this methane appears and then disappears. So is something making it, or is it an intermittent chemical reaction? We're not sure. So we have to go and look a little bit more clearly.
And what about asteroids then, and the plans that they have for this anti-asteroid DART system?
I love this one. Okay. So there are no big asteroids currently headed towards the Earth. I mean, we're fairly certain.
We're safe on that front.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing larger than 140 metres. There's plenty of things smaller than 140 metres. And then what would you do about it anyway? So the intention of this technology tester is to go to a known asteroid that has a known little asteroid moon. So we can see this moon whizzing around its parent asteroid. The intent is to hit the little moonlet and nudge it. Just a tiny little bit.
A small push.
A very small
push. For humanity.
But that small push will be detectable in the timing of its orbit around its parent. So we'll know whether this is actually even possible. It's a technology demonstrator. It is not going to push this asteroid and its moon anywhere else in space. But it is going to nudge them, give them a little shake to see, can we do it? So that if we do detect something else on a collision course, at least we have an idea that, yes, chucking hardware at it and pushing it could work.
And you're going to mess with our minds now, because this James Webb Space Telescope, it's going to attempt to peer back in time.
It is. Well, we always look back in time. When you're looking at things, you can only see them when the light from that thing arrives in your eyeballs. And on the planet, that's, you know, pretty much real time. You see it almost instantly. But James Webb is able to collect light once it's fully functioning. It got launched on Christmas Day, the best Christmas present ever. And it is heading out to its final spot in space, which is a significant distance away from the Earth. It's due to have an engine firing at the end of the week, and that will help it glide towards where it's going. It's opened its mirrors. It's quite a large telescope to sort of fit it in the rocket. They had to fold it. So it's unfolded successfully. And now it's just aligning, kind of warming itself up, aligning its mirror and actually cooling itself down, because it detects infrared. So it detects the heat from objects in space. So it has to be cool itself so it's not detecting itself. So it's going to take a couple of months for that to cool down and get everything working properly. And then it's going to start studying. And it's going to be looking away from the sun, because obviously the sun is hot. It'll be detecting the light that has come from remote, further than anything we've ever seen before. And the further away you look, the longer it's taken to get to us. So you're looking back at the early history of our universe.
Fascinating, and reporting back.
Seriously cool.
We chatted to you last year about the grand stretch in the day, and it is becoming more noticeable,
I
think we'd all agree, as we head towards the midpoint, past the midpoint now of January. We lost Frances?
Oh, I'm here. Yes,
there you are. No, I was just saying to you, Frances, that as we get past the midpoint in January, we're really noticing the stretch in the evenings, aren't we?
We are. Now, the easiest way to notice the stretch, the planet does it automatically as we're tilted, as we orbit the sun. It's all related to the seasonal changes that we see. So each day as we turn round towards the sun, we're facing it for a bit longer each day. But the easiest stretch is actually go west. You've got a time of sunset tonight in Dublin at 20 to 5. But in Tralee, it's at a minute to 5. So you'll
big
get
difference.
20 minutes just by going across the country.
Fascinating stuff, Frances. Thank you so much. Frances McCarthy there in our Cork studio from the Blackrock Castle Observatory. Now, a little later in the show, we're going to be talking about the so-called Great Resignation. Apparently, a wave of people have decided to quit their jobs or they're changing careers because they've had a chance during the pandemic to rethink their lives and their work-life balance and whether they want a change. And Sinead English will be joining us with plenty of advice. And you can get in touch by text 51551 or email us todaycb@rte.ie. We'll take a break.